host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening at online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, on the Co-Creator Network, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX Radio, or in Nova Scotia at the Axe Radio Canada, and wherever you're listening from. Thanks so much for joining me today. So today, before I bring up my guests, I'm joined in studio by Andrew Resmer from Conscious Living Radio here in Vancouver, and Stephen Gray, who is one of the speakers at the upcoming Spirit Plant Medicine Conference here at UBC. I just want to let you know, though, that next week, October 22nd, we're going to be doing a special about bullying and self-esteem, and it's in reaction to the Amanda Todd suicide over cyberbullying as well as in-person bullying. And we're going to be speaking with Dr. Shefali Sabery, Barbara Desmarais, and a couple of other experts, psychologists. I'm still working on the guest list, but we will be talking about what we can do to solve this problem of bullying, because people are posting things on my Facebook page right now of petitions to make bullying illegal. And I just feel like there's so much more that we need to do to get to the root of the problem. We can't just, I think, making bullying illegal, first of all, how do you even do that? And secondly, it's really a Band-Aid solution. So next week, we're going to be talking about that. I feel really passionate about this issue. So I hope that you will tune in and join us. Feel free to email me, spiritualshow@gmail.com, if you have any comments in advance that you'd like to let me know about. So welcome to the show, Andrew Resmer and Stephen Gray. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us here.
Hey. So when is the Spirit Plant Medicine event happening?
In a couple of weeks, October 26th, Friday evening, starting at 6 o'clock.
7:30.
We don't know. We'll find out.
They can start registering at 6:30 or so.
The actual the lectures starts at closer to 7:30, but
6:30 registration.
Registration's actually at 6:30.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's Friday evening. We have a couple amazing presentations on that day. And then Saturday, full day from 10 o'clock in the morning practically till 10 o'clock in the evening. And Sunday, from 10 o'clock in the morning to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow. So now what, you were on the show a couple of years ago talking
last
about
year.
This.
Last year?
Yes, it was.
This is the second one.
Okay. All right. Second in a row. All right. So tell us what you're going to be talking about this year, and what did you talk about last year?
Well, last year, Andrew decided I was a cannabis expert, which is dubious at best, but he asked me to speak about cannabis because I have some experience with it in a somewhat spiritual context, and so that's what I did last year. And he asked me to, he wanted cannabis included again this year, but I decided I didn't want to reprise my talk from last year, and I pretty much said what I wanted to say about it last year. So I've organized a panel this year with which I'll be a part, but it includes three people from the local area that have a different take on cannabis spirituality. There'll be a fellow named Ross Nicolesh, who's a Rastafarian, and they use cannabis as a sacrament. And there's Chris Bennett from Urban Shaman downtown, and a scholar who's written some very excellent, thoroughly detailed books on the history of cannabis spirituality. And I'm really interested to hear from this other woman named Dee Dussault, who bills herself as a ganja yoga teacher. And she has kind of in the West almost pioneered the use of cannabis in yoga and meditation practice in classes that she's taught for 3 years in Toronto, and has recently moved out to Vancouver. So along with me, that's the cannabis panel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so is spirit plant medicine all about smoking up for spiritual purposes, or what else will you be talking about at the event?
Well, that's a very minor part of it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that's 1 hour out of the weekend. Well, if you want, I could kind of go through some of the people that are coming, some of our feature presenters and so on.
And, yeah. And before we go to actual experts that we are inviting, the purpose of the conference is actually to introduce use of different spiritual plants, spirit plants as we call them, that have been known for thousands of years in different communities throughout the world, in especially indigenous cultures, to help with healing both on emotional, spiritual, and physical level. And we feel that that wisdom, that amazing body of knowledge is not known and accessible in the West, in North America especially. So the purpose of the conference is to introduce our audience and to that knowledge, to use of spirit plants in a more ceremonial way, to open our hearts, to open our minds, to open our bodies or our souls to a much greater wisdom that we usually are able to access. And
thanks for putting that in at this point, because that was the right time to say that, I think. And maybe I could just add a little to
yes,
that, actually.
Please.
Yeah. So I just wanted to really make a distinction in terms of what Andrew is saying between any kind of what you might call recreational use of these plants. This is not about that kind of work at all, and they've never been used that way in these indigenous or traditional societies from around the world, and deep, deep, deep into the misty histories of time have always been used sacramentally and for healing purposes. There's a larger picture here, which I just want to address at this point, maybe as a kind of a adding to what Andrew's saying about a foundation for what we might talk about for the next while, is that I think many people who are paying any kind of attention would agree that the planet is in a kind of a crisis situation at the moment. We've pretty much run the karma of what's been going on up till now into a danger point, and that might be putting it lightly, right? I have a Native American elder friend from the Native American Church Peyote Way, who I consider to be quite brilliant, and I called her up a couple of months ago, said, I'm going to be involved in organizing this conference. Andrew and I are kind of co-organizing it. And I said, I'm thinking about the intention. And what would you advise, should be our intention? And she, without hesitation, she replied, it's not actually about the plants per se. That's not the core issue. It's about reconnecting. It's about the need for humanity to reconnect to who we are and our relationship, our relatedness. That's why the Native Americans always use this phrase, all my relatives or all my relations. They mean that. They mean that we are part of this web, right? And we've gotten separated from that over the last few thousand years. That's enough for 1,000 books right there, right? But what the plants can do when they're used carefully, wisely, in the right hands for the right people, and that's really important, those things, is they can reintroduce people to that connection. They can help open up this separate closed-offness that, they have amazing potential for that. So they're very much a part of the movement of reawakening and reconnecting on the planet right now. And that's what this conference is for, is to try to bring the most accurate, responsible, respectful information forward that we possibly can, and that's why we've brought these people in.
And this year we, similarly like last year, we invited almost 20 different people from different parts of the world, different backgrounds, expertise. Some of them are scientists with a couple of PhDs, some of them are more on the shamanic path, practicing. Some of them spent years in the jungles of Amazon studying with shamans. Some of them learned from books. But all together, they bring a huge, vast expertise and knowledge on Stephen says, sacramental or spiritual use of those plants, ceremonial use of those plants. And cannabis is is one of many, and there's a huge list of different plants that are have been used throughout the world. The reason why we started with cannabis because in Vancouver it has we believe cannabis is misused and overused and abused, mm-hmm. and there is a misunderstanding of and judgment towards that plant that has a huge potential and power, but most people don't realize that.
So just to be clear, now the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference, it sounds like you're talking specifically about plants with some type of hallucinogenic property that have been used over time for spiritual awakening. So you're not going to be talking about nutrition or anything like that, correct?
No, not particularly, although in the end these things are all related, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could diverge, and I'll try not to, into talking about how these indigenous cultures that have brought forth these plants that we're talking about also knew all the other plants and the leaves and the stems and the roots and the berries and the everything and what they did. And I see this over and over again when I read some of the literature, that they knew all the healing properties, they knew the edible properties, they knew the things that could be used for clothing, et cetera, et cetera. They knew the ones that were poisonous. For example, I'm reading a book right now called Lame Deer, Seeker of Visions, and he was a medicine man. And at one point in the book, he goes about three or four pages into listing all the plants that he knew of for all these things. And he says that before the white people showed up on the continent, they didn't get sick a lot. And when they did, they had a treatment for everything. So basically, they were able to take care of their diseases and medical problems. So it's partly about that. It's partly about just this reconnection thing again, right? It's coming back to our relatedness to everything, and the spirits of the plants are a really important part of that. You know, even these non-psychoactive ones, if you want to call them that, are known by indigenous people to have a spirit that you can connect with and bring in as an ally.
Yeah. It's because of our thick skin that we have developed over those few hundred years.
Well put.
We are inviting people to start exploring this topics with very powerful plants that have psychedelic ingredients, and sometimes I compare it to, we need to be hit over the head with 2x4 in order to wake up, and those plants have that capacity to really open up our vision in a ways that no other plants. But personally, I've been practicing with some of those plants over years, and now it's the minuscule amount that is required for my body, for my mind, for my heart, for my soul to open up. And sometimes even thought or intention allows me to connect and reconnect, as Stephen rightly says, and connect to that vision, to that wisdom, to that power. And one of our guests, Jennifer, coming from Saskatchewan, she's one of those amazing people who actually can communicate with plants. And it's irrelevant if there is a psychedelic ingredient in that plant or not. She is in communication continuously and brings the wisdom and knowledge of any plant that is alive.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, it's time for a break. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And right now we are speaking with Stephen Gray and Andrew Resmer, and they are going to be... Are you going to be speaking at the event as well, or are you just organizing?
I'm just organizing.
Okay. And he's from Conscious Living Radio, and Stephen Gray is going to be one of the speakers at Spirit Plant Medicine. Is there a spiritplantmedicine.com? Is that the website?
Spiritplantmedicine.com, yes.
Okay, wonderful. So we'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Bye. bad news, nobody.
On Friday, June 22nd, Shaw Cable will be discontinuing their FM channels, meaning they will no longer broadcast CITR.
Aww.
It's a good thing we have this big antenna. CITR, still 101.9 on your FM dial and online at citr.ca.
I knew I had a problem.
Eating and eating.
I felt so alone.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. Start living the life you deserve. Find us on the web at oa.org.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find me at spiritualshow.com, and you can also listen to past episodes of this show at CITR.ca. And right now we are joined by Stephen Gray and Andrew Resmer, and they are, well, Andrew is organizing the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference here at UBC, and Stephen Gray is one of the speakers. Welcome back.
And also, Stephen is quite actually involved in co-organizing as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. One of the concerns for myself, my mother was schizophrenic, and so I have never used anything like peyote, magic mushrooms, LSD, anything like that, because of I'm just scared I would never want to trigger something like that. So what advice do you have for people who are, I mean, isn't it potentially dangerous to take these drugs?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we're having this conference, because, you know, some of these substances are loose and available to the public. You know, psilocybin mushrooms grow in the wild, and even cannabis can be dangerous for certain people.
It can trigger schizophrenia, some research has shown.
Okay, here's a good word to think of for these substances in general. They're sometimes referred to as non-specific amplifiers. So, and this is why it's so important to channel it and have guides, people who really know what they're doing, whose heads and hearts are in the right place, and have a ritual container, a protecting container for these things, right? So, you know, even cannabis, you can't blame the cannabis for, you know, triggering the onset of a latent psychosis of some kind. But because it's an amplifier, if somebody's leaning that way anyway, it can exacerbate their mind states. So one of the old Native people, I'm involved with the Native American Church, which uses the peyote sacrament, as I mentioned earlier. And I was talking to one of the old guys who's been around for a really, really long time, and he said to me, the trick with peyote is wherever your mind goes, that's what you get. And that's actually true for life in general. But when you work with these plants, that's greatly expanded, intensified. So that's why they have such capabilities, because they intensify experience. And if you channel it in the right direction, it can move you out of your old places, your stuck places, your ego, as it were, right? But we're all, as the Buddhists might say, we're all in the land of ego, and in our controlled world that we've kind of put together for ourselves. And so it's threatening to step out of that. And and if you just do it on your own, a lot of people will get by okay, but there will definitely be casualties. And so this conference and the people that are coming to speak about it are not in support of any kind of careless or casual use. It's powerful work, as Andrew says, and it needs careful, integral guidance.
Yeah, and there is no one answer to all, different specific personal situations.
Yeah.
So conference is 3 days long. There is 20 different experts. Some of them have more or less medical background. Purpose of the conference is to broaden one's perspective, knowledge, and expertise, and expose oneself to different wisdom that each of those presenters are going to bring. Not necessarily to convince someone to jump in right away and start using some of those plants, but to widen the consciousness, awareness of what those plants are, how they've been used for thousands of years throughout the world, and how they could potentially help in the right circumstances with the right usage.
Yeah.
So if you have a question for Stephen or Andrew, you can give us a call, 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. And so what's the difference? I'm actually curious about cannabis, because so much of it now is genetically modified, hydroponically grown, sprayed with pesticides. The pot that people are smoking now, especially BC Bud, it's super high potency. It's not the same stuff that was people were smoking in the 70s. Is this the same quality of marijuana that you would be smoking for spiritual purposes, or would you be better off with like backyard all-natural type pot?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how to answer that question. I don't know a lot of specifics about the growing methods, but just as with food in this culture, there's increasing movement toward trying to produce healthy, things among the people that have that intention. I know one person who is connected to that growing industry, and that's his attitude. The best people doing with cannabis, the best people are people who believe they're doing something beneficial for people, and you know it's a living for them as well. But they're doing it carefully, and that's important actually, and that's where we need to go with all of these plants. And, I don't want to overemphasize cannabis; it's considered one of the minor, psychedelics or whatever you want to call it. But that's why it needs to move. Cannabis and all these others need to move towards recognition in a legal sense in general in the cultures. And I believe this will happen. It's starting to happen. It's one of those sort of old, this is ridiculous things, in the culture. I consider our culture to be very, very primitive about these things, kind of superstitious and misunderstanding about a lot of these things. And so cannabis, the plants need to be looked after. Ideally, they need to be raised by people who are deeply connected to them and understand what they can do and bring that kind of energy into the every aspect, every stage of the production. So that's where it needs to go. Yes, there are some probably crappy products out there, I guess, But I just want to address the issue of, this is often brought up that, it's not the same plant it was in the 70s. It is the same plant. there was some pretty strong stuff around back then, too. And even when it wasn't strong, typically the people I was around just tended to smoke more until they got as high as they wanted to, right? Yeah. So it's not as drastically different as you might think. But again, I would put cannabis in the same kind of category as the other plants in terms of ideally it would be used ritually and in a healing way, and not just, any old time, any old place with no intention.
Yeah. And because it is, we consider it a spirit plant and used in a ritual way, in ceremonial way, it is important that the plant is grown as and the entire process is a ritual as well. And the ritual would not, at least in my mind, involve use of chemicals or use of or genetically modified seeds. Because the as Jennifer, the lady that I mentioned, is one of our presenters, she claims that when she communicates with plants that have been genetically modified lose their identity. They don't have, they almost like robots. They don't have their own personality. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have the connection, because it's not, they may have the quality of psychedelic components even increased, but the spirit of that plant is removed.
So it sounds like you're saying chemically they would be the same, but energetically it's much different.
And yes. Spiritually.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. what was I wanted to mention? Oh, yes. In some sense, the big secret that even people who have maybe casually made use of psilocybin or LSD or something, even just cannabis, in general are not aware of, and cannabis definitely comes into this category, is they are capable in the right circumstances of opening one up to the stillness, which is at the root who we are and our way that we can be in the world. But most people don't create the conditions, the setting, or what's traditionally called the set and setting. Set is the kind of mental state you bring to it, and setting is the environment, the ritual environment and the space and everything about it. Most people have no idea that even cannabis can bring you into that stillness, can bring you into that centered, still place. But you have to understand that it's capable of that, and then you have to know how to do it. And it's challenging because cannabis in particular, and I feel like I got to stop talking about cannabis soon because it is one of the minor ones compared to some of the other plants there. But now I forgot what I was going to say else about it. That's probably a good time to stop talking about it.
You were talking about?
Yeah, just that it can bring you into that stillness. It can be very powerful. It has that capability. I was going to say that the difficulty for a lot of people is that it tends to stimulate energy for a lot of people. And so you get ideas, you know, things seem to get enhanced, you know, they seem to be more colorful or more pleasurable or more interesting. So there's so many seductions and distractions that can happen with cannabis. So to channel it into silence is very challenging. But when you can do it, it has a lot of power in it, potentially. It has a 10,000-year-old history on this planet of spiritual use, going back into China, India, and all through the Asia. That way, the literature is there that shows that.
Yeah. So you don't want to talk about cannabis anymore. Well, let's talk about something like peyote. I mean, I've never taken it, but I've heard lots about it. So take us through what would a ritualistic peyote experience look like, okay, ideally?
Well, peyote is not very accessible in a ritual context for most people. It really is not the property of, but kind of the territory of Native Americans, and that includes some Native Canadians and Mexican Native people like the Huichol Indians and some other tribes. There's four or five of them that traditionally have used it. So it's not quite as plentiful, and it's now the growing areas are somewhat controlled as well. It's legal for the Native American church, the Native people of the United States, if they're connected to the Native American church. But it's, as I say, not all widely available for most people. So it's more, when I would speak about peyote, I would talk about the practice more as a model for how those of us who understand the potential of these substances can move forward in creating safe, effective rituals. I've been going to the Native American Church all-night teepee meetings for 9 years or so, and I'm just really deeply impressed and deeply moved by the way that they do these things. Every aspect of the ceremony is set to create the maximum potential for the meeting of mind and spirit. I don't want to go into a lot of detail about it, but they have the fire. There's a fire that's set up very, very carefully with a lot of detail. It's considered a being. I've been told in a meeting, one time, they call them road men who run the meetings, looked around the room and he said, relatives, you should pay attention to that fire a lot during the night because it has things to teach you. They have a water drum that's used to accompany songs, and the songs are prayer songs. And I've been told about the water drum that the spirit gets into it if you know what you're doing, if you're a drummer who really knows that connection. I could take a half an hour to explain all the symbolism connected to this drum. I won't, obviously, but but it's tied up for every meeting and taken apart again at the end of the meeting. They actually tie the skin on and tie it down, and there's a whole ritual to the way it's roped down around the edges in a seven point star configuration, and every element of that drum is means something, and even the way that somebody comes to have a drum is part of that. And I've been told by the drummers that really know what they're doing that when they get drumming, they can actually see the spirit go out from the drum and go around to the people in the teepee, right? So these people have a deep, deep understanding of how to work with these medicines. The peyote medicine in particular is, they're all a little different, all these medicines. Peyote medicine is, I think of it as a very, in some ways, very straightforward reality connector. It's not as florid as something like ayahuasca can be. It's in the Native American church meetings, it tends not to be very visual for most people. It's more like you're there together, you're there for a reason, there's a prayer behind it, there's an intention for that meeting for the whole group, like it might be to help somebody who's in trouble or something, and everybody puts their mind on that. And what the peyote does, again, non-specific amplifier, it allows the heart to open up. It allows the focus to deepen, and it brings in the spirit, ideally. If people can get out of their heads and pay attention, the spirit will come in, and miracles can happen. Literally, miracles can happen in that situation. The ones that are more accessible, with the one in particular, and this is, needs a lot of... it needs addressing quite a lot, is ayahuasca, because so many people are using it now.
I wanted to ask you about that, because I've heard about ayahuasca ceremonies, and I've heard some negative things. There are people who are offering these guided ayahuasca ceremonies that aren't really maybe in it for the greater good. They're taking advantage of people, or maybe they're just ignorant and don't know what they're doing. So how do you find someone trustworthy to guide you through this experience?
Excellent question.
And again, it's almost impossible to within the restriction of 1 hour to give the full answer. We, during the conference, we have, I think, 2.5 hour long panel of experts from different parts of the world with different expertise that are addressing issues related to ethical considerations, community considerations, family considerations, plants itself. There are, some of them are disappearing. We are abusing, and some plants are difficult to be found anymore. There's many considerations that need to be taken into account when someone makes a decision to explore connection with spirit plants. And the purpose of us being here is not necessarily to answer all those questions. Mm-hmm. It's more to create more questions, so people who are deciding can ask those questions of themselves. What is the motivation behind it? Am I just curious? Is there intention? Is there just experiment? Another something that I want to experience? All those. Who am I going to do it with? Am I going to break the law doing it in Canada, or am I going to go outside of Canada? How am I going to choose? What kind of plant? All those questions are very important, and one of the purposes of the conference is to give people broader understanding and how they can go about asking and answering those questions for themselves.
Good one.
Thank you. So what's the difference between, sometimes people take, whether it's cannabis or LSD or any other kind of hallucinogen, and then they write music, or they'll write a book or something. What's the difference between that and a more spiritual, meditative, or is it the same thing?
Could be the same, yeah. I actually want to back up and respond to two things that you said earlier that we kind of got away from. One is where you were talking about your mother and this, history of schizophrenia and stuff like that. And I just wanted to stress that these plants are definitely not for everybody. In my fantasy world, if I were the dictator of the universe, I would say that nobody comes into using one of these kind of plants that doesn't go through some kind of consultation with the person who's doing it. That's the way. One of the plants involved is an African plant called Iboga, Iboga, and I actually work with some people. I help them organize their sort of shamanic ceremonies that they do over here. They're from Europe, these two guys that come over here periodically. And so I was just at an Iboga ceremony this past weekend, helping out. These guys, anyone who's interested in doing the Iboga, has to have an approximately 1 hour long telephone consultation with one of these two ceremony leaders. And what they've told me is that by the end of that conversation, the kind of questions that they ask, the kind of answers that the person gives during that time, by the end of that hour, it's clear to both the ceremony leaders and that person whether or not they're ready to do this. And they do, in fact, discourage some people and say, yes, I don't think you're ready for this. You need to maybe have 2-3 years of a simple meditation practice first, that kind of thing, right? For this one that we just did, they actually discluded a couple of people. They just were not ready. And so for anyone who just, you know, suddenly gets the idea that they should go do ayahuasca, they need to think carefully about, you know, whether they have enough grounding in themselves to be able to do that. You know, it's definitely a direct and powerful path. And again, I'll stress that's why it's so important to have really careful guidance by people who know what they're doing and have an ethical attitude, which also speaks to your question about, you know, there's, you know, people out there that are not necessarily coming from the right place, right? The other thing I wanted to mention is your use of the word hallucinogen, because it's not 100% incorrect, but it's potentially dangerously misleading to think of these plants as hallucinogens, because that the medical profession pathologizes hallucination, you know, and the native people and people who've worked with these plants, but particularly the people who really understand them, will say that the visions that you experience are not hallucinations, they're visions. And they'll sometimes say that what you experience with these plants is more real than the reality that people live in on a daily basis. And on top of that, the visual element is not necessarily, in fact, I know that's true about peyote, I know it's true about Iboga, and I've been told that about ayahuasca by the shamans from South America, is that it's not the visual thing itself, although that can be very instructive and very powerful. It's the opening. It's the teachings that you get from opening yourself and surrendering, just non-judgmentally opening up, letting go, and being present. There's this great potential for very relevant learning to each person's life.
Mm-hmm. So it's not hallucination. It is a tangible wisdom that changes people and makes them more loving, more kind, more human beings after the ceremony. And in most cases, that is the purpose, that is the intention.
So now, if someone isn't ready and they have a bad experience, it can be very traumatizing to someone to have, like, people talk about bad LSD trips, and you can actually have flashbacks from things like that. So what happens to someone if they're not ready? Can that trauma actually create some kind of brain damage or...
Not brain damage, but there can be some lasting psychological damage because it's like therapy in a sense. You're opening yourself up. You're going into the underworld in a sense, right? It's like the Dante's, you know, journey through all these, you know, places. That's kind of a metaphor for what happens in these things. You go into a deep place. In the Iboga world, they talk about having a death. You go into a kind of a bardo state. Things get, as I've said before, very amplified and enhanced, and it needs to be channeled. You need to surrender to it. If you take a fairly large... LSD is possibly the most dangerous of them all, because it can be so potent. And, you know, a lot of people found this out the hard way back in the 60s and early 70s in that period. And with LSD in particular... there's a tradition that predates that period of trained professionals using it. It was legal up until 1966, you know. Trained professionals did it in therapeutic environments. The problem, just doing it on your own, is that you can get into a very difficult place. But the therapist guide person can bring you through that and create a container that helps mitigate the likelihood of that even happening in the first place. But if it does, if you know, they were doing this with people who needed psychiatric help in hospitals and finding it very effective, but you have to go through it. If you do it on your own, or if you have somebody who's not trained properly to work with you, you can get stuck in these places, mm-hmm. and then it'll haunt you for a long time. So, you know, my broken record thing again is, you know, a counsel against doing these things casually altogether. Mm-hmm. And that's not just my thing by any stretch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the one of the most important reasons that I personally decided to put so much energy, emphasis, and money on creating this path, this conscious opening through inviting experts throughout the world and creating Spirit Plant Conference Medicine, Spirit Plant Medicine Conference every year, and exposing ourselves to expertise from all those visionaries and spiritual leaders.
All right. Well, it's time now for another break. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find me at spiritualshow.com if you're interested in hearing Stephen Gray and the other 19 panelists speak at the
14,
Spirit... 14?
I think so.
Okay. The other panelists speak at the Spirit Plant Medicine event at the University of British Columbia. You can go to spiritplantmedicine.com. And again, what is the dates of the...
October 26th to 28th starts registration 6:30 p.m. on Friday, October the 26th.
Okay. So that's spiritplantmedicine.com. We will be back with more synchronicity momentarily.
And now... for our more dreadful sacrifice.
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Saturday night here at CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human with me, Gareth Moses. I'll be playing a selection of wonderful electronic music from a strange parallel universe. I hope you can join me between 8 and 9, and do remember to bring your jetpack. I'll see you then.
On Friday, October 19th, local folk roots extremists Corbin Murdoch and the Nautical Miles celebrate the release of a new digital EP with two of Vancouver's finest. They've got Eden Finde, best known as the frontwoman of Vancouver's beloved garage rockers Vancouver, and Winter Mitts, everyone's favorite semi-orchestral bilingual genre band. There will be a constellation of quintessentially Vancouver bands aligning for the first time. So save the date, October 19th at the China Cloud, 524 Main Street. Sponsored by CITR 101.9.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Coming up in just a few minutes is Parts Unknown here on CITR. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you can find me at spiritualshow.com, and you can find these guys at spiritplantmedicine.com if you want to come to the conference. So tell us more about the other people who are going to be at this event.
Yeah, well, we have some... visitors coming from the United States who are real experts and masters in this kind of work. One of them is James Fadiman. James's recent book, which I've been reading these days, is The Psychedelic Explorer. And James is in his 70s now, Dr. James Fadiman. He's been around with this kind of work since the 1960s. He was there with the pioneers of the spiritual use of psychedelics in the West, coming out of Harvard University with Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert, later known as Ram Dass, and a number of others. And James has been dedicated to the kind of attitude and intention that we've been talking about today ever since that time. So he will be giving a speech a talk called New Applications for these wisdom plants. So he's coming up from California to do that. And also from the United States, we have Stephen Beyer, Steve Beyer from Chicago. Steve has spent a good part of his adult life. He's now, I don't know how old he is, maybe 60 or so. He's spent a good part of his adult life in the Amazon, in the Peruvian Amazon, in areas like that. And he's brilliant, for one thing. And he's also become possibly one of the world's leading authorities outside of these native traditions themselves on the use of ayahuasca in shamanic context. And he has a recent book, very detailed, thorough book that probably is unrivaled in its depth of exploration of the way that ayahuasca shamanism occurs in the upper Amazon. His book is called Singing to the Plants. And then we have another wonderful presenter who was here last year, Kathleen Harrison, also from California. For anyone listening who has ever heard of Terence McKenna, he's kind of a pioneer of the spiritual discussion on the use of these plants in the West. And he died about 10 years ago. And Kathleen was married to him for quite a while, so she was right in the middle of the growth of this movement or this work. And she's an ethnobotanist. Very dedicated to maintaining the plants in a good way. She has something called Botanical Dimensions that she founded, which keeps seed stock alive and just nurtures the whole thing altogether. She was beloved by people last year, so we're really happy to have her back. Then we have a number of people that are more or less from around here. Well, Andrew mentioned Jennifer Ray, the woman who communicates with plants. We have another person from California known as Sitara Maya, she and her presenting partner, Ayasmina, are experts in the ayahuasca world. So they'll be exploring issues like they're doing part of a panel called Women, Plants, and Culture. So get the women perspective, the sort of archetypal feminine and that sort of thing in there. And they will also be doing their own, and they'll be leading a chant workshop, ayahuasca chants and that kind of thing. We have Satyan Raja. You know him better than I. How would you describe Satyan?
He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Super, yeah. No,
How would you describe Satyan's approach to this?
Satyan, I feel like it's a spiritual brother to me. He's an amazing human being who is awakened thousands of people through his different types of workshops and that he has been leading under banner of Warrior Sage and then Ignite Passion and other different platforms that he've created over those years. And he himself credits lots of his wisdom and his passion to experiences and ceremonies that he participated in, especially with ayahuasca. Now he moved to other plants as well. And he's extremely passionate about bringing this wisdom to experience. Don't leave this as just an experience that is outside of this life that you are going to come back to in your dreams. Bring this wisdom to your daily life and how you incorporate this knowledge, this experience, this what you have learned to become a better human being. So that's his part of his teachings during the conference.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually a really important part of it, that if we had longer, we could actually make a big discussion about, is that you have these amplified experiences. When channeled correctly, they bring very powerful insights, and they can be absolutely life-changing for people. But then you still need to walk the daily walk, you know, and you need to bring these things into your life with grounding, with a meditation practice. Sometimes people need to follow up with some kind of therapy to keep the channel open and keep grounded and stuff like that. So that's Satyan's focus, is how to bring it back into the world. And on similar kind of theme, in a sense, a talk that I didn't mention that Kathleen Harrison is doing is called Shamanic Techniques for Self-Care. And again, that's about how to look after yourself and how to work with these plants in a way that can make them make their wisdom that they help you open up to part of your life in an ongoing way.
Yeah. So now what about it's what you mentioned about having these insights? I mean, I've had moments of deep clarity, not necessarily from taking a plant or anything, but just through my own journey and my travels and all of that. There have been moments of deep insight, and they can be so fleeting, where it feels like, wow, I finally have this understanding, and then you get back into your daily life and you lose, you might still have the memory of it, but you lose that feeling and that openness and the access to that wisdom. And so what about people who maybe are not wanting to use these plants? For maybe they're people like me who are a little bit nervous about the brain chemistry aspect of it. Can people who have no plans to take these medications or these plants or drugs or whatever you want to call them, can they still come and benefit from this conference just from the techniques?
Yeah, I would say so, because, again, the bottom foundation here, in a sense, is this reconnection issue that we're talking about, right? The plants are one way. They're not the only way. No one's trying to claim that they're the only way. This is, again, coming back to something I said at the very beginning, because the planet's in crisis. It's kind of like we need strong techniques now, a lot of us. Those of us who are capable of doing it are encouraged to get wise quick, right? and we're capable of doing that because the planet needs us. It's not, by no means is it just about ourselves, as I was saying. You know, that's like a Buddhist teaching. First of all, you tame your mind, and then you look around and see what needs to be done, right? And what needs to be done is a healing of this planet at multiple levels. So the plants are one very powerful, effective way of doing that, but they're, as I say, definitely not for everybody. And there's certainly other paths, and it depends on the person. You know, I know people that have, just like you were talking about with yourself, have very deep experiences without any kind of substance. There's no question. That's what our minds are capable of. The Buddhist teachings would say that we're all Buddha. We're all Buddha just means awake. We're all awake by nature, and all we've done is obscured it with layers and layers of self-protection. And so we just need to, you know, gradually dissolve those layers to open up to who we really are. Does that answer your question?
It does, and it actually brings up another one, because some people would say that using plants is the lazy way to attain this clarity.
Absolutely not. It's a powerful way, it's a direct way, but it is not lazy, because you still have, as I say, the work to do on a daily basis. And not only are they not lazy, it takes a lot of courage. It takes the willingness to surrender to them, and it's an ongoing journey. It's not a one-shot thing, you know, because it's really important to understand that the plants don't actually do anything for you. They're non-specific amplifiers, as I said. And so they show you what you're capable of. And so when you talked about having an experience where you, you know, open up to some deep place, the plants can show you that place. And they can show it to you so powerfully and so directly that you can't forget it. It's there. And then you have to nurture it and like a seed, you know, you have to look after it. You have to water it. You have to feed it, you know, on as daily a basis as possible. But you have that understanding that you can have that understanding that there's this stillness in the center. That's who we are. And then you can nurture that through your life. It's a lifelong journey, you know.
And it has potential. Those plants have potential to speed up the process, no doubt about it. I've been meditating and practicing for 20 plus years before I had my first ceremony with ayahuasca, and within two first hours, the amount of suffering that I had experienced throughout this. It wasn't a lazy way of doing it, but it was a compressed. I had no choice but to surrender to suffering that I have caused others. I had to become them during the ceremony and feel what they felt because of my doings or lack of doings or saying or lack of sayings. I had no choice but to experience the suffering that I was exposed to, that I never allowed myself to feel in the past because I blocked myself from that. So it is a speed up way of experiencing very powerful teachings, but it's not a lazy way, definitely.
You should say something about the tickets. There's about a minute left.
Right. The entire conference, including all teachings, three days of learning, and also we are providing. All meals that are included with the conference this time. We're feeding people with organic, vegan, amazing food delivered by Eternal Abundance, vegan restaurant and grocery store on Commercial. Regular price is $288. For UBC students or people who work at UBC, we have half price special.
Oh, wow.
So it's only $144, all 3 days, all meals included. So for those who are interested, please contact us. The best way to contact is through email, andrew@consciouslivingradio.org. You can also find our contacts on our webpage, spiritplantmedicine.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Stephen Gray and Andrew Resmer, for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to see you again. And I'm going to end the show with a song, Medicine Buddha Mantra by Surya Devi. It seems appropriate. And you can go to my website, spiritualshow.com. Again, next week, we're going to be talking about the getting to the root issue of bullying and how we can support both bullies and the victims of bullying next week on Synchronicity. Be well. Have a wonderful week. I love you so much.
Namaste.
That's Chris from Parts Unknown. Have a great day.
Thank you.
On Friday, October 19th, local folk roots extremist Corbin Murdoch and the Nautical Mile celebrate the